Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name's Murray Shanks. I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church on the mid-north coast of New South Wales in Australia. Today I want to speak to you about mission. Would we all agree that the Lord Jesus has given us a mission? A mission to go into all the world with the good news about the availability of the kingdom of God. A mission to go into all the world, both near and far, with the astounding news that God not only knows your name and my name, but that he loves you and me and that he is for us. That is, his will for you and I is always for our good. And he has done everything necessary for our sins, our guilt before him, our propensity to keep on sinning, continuing to sin, to be dealt with once and for all. We all have been given a mission. We have a place within the mission of God to not only make disciples, but to encourage and to build up one another after we become followers of Jesus, to walk through life with Jesus and to encourage others to walk with Jesus, and then to also walk with them through this life and into the new creation. So as we think about mission, let's jump back into our journey through the book of Acts to chapter 11. I'm reading on from verse 19. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to Jews. Okay, I want you to notice that they didn't plan to go north. They were driven from Jerusalem by persecution. If you remember from the opening chapter of Acts, the Lord said to them, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." But they didn't move of their own accord. They didn't organise a mission to the ends of the earth. What they did do was settle down to loving one another. Remember Acts 2? Sharing everything they had, meeting for prayer and sitting under the apostles' teaching, they enjoyed wonderful fellowship together. All good things. But they weren't getting out and doing what the Lord had called them to do, being his witnesses from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. But then a great persecution broke out against them following the stoning of Stephen. The early church was scattered, and they travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. That's right up north, above Lake Galilee, well into the Greek-speaking world. Did you notice that Luke tells us they only shared the word of God with Jews? They shared the gospel with Jews living in this area. However, some of them, people from Cyprus and Cyrene, who undoubtedly had strong relational networks among the Gentiles, they were used by God to spread the good news about Jesus. Have a look. Verse 20 says, "However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord." The power of the Lord was with them, and their mission was a great success. A large number, that's what it says, a large number of Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. Effective mission flowed from the courage and sacrifice of men like Stephen, who were martyred and suffered for their faith. It flowed from persecution and then through the willingness of these men and women to step into God's plan for them in their time and in their place. Take note of that. These people stepped into God's plan for them in their time and in their place. When we look historically at how the gospel spread to the Gentile world, there was always these same ingredients. As I said at the start, we have a mission. As we continually try to live out that mission of Jesus in our time and in our place, it's so important that we are continually reminded of the important elements of successful mission. So what are these elements? Well, ingredient number one, whenever we find successful mission, there is always sacrifice. As you read through Acts, one posture, one mindset, one value stands out wherever you look. And that is a willingness to sacrifice, a willing to lay down something that you either have or you already have it or something that you could have for the sake of Christ and for the sake of others. Of course, everything always starts with the sacrifice of God's Son. But God always calls us to give up something, to walk away from our old life in order that we step into the life he has for us. When God called Louise and I into pastoral ministry in the late 80s, as we look back, we recognize that each step of the way, there was something that we needed to give up, in order that we step up into the work God had for us moving forward. And I've seen this time and time again in the lives of so many other believers. Wherever we find successful mission, there is always sacrifice. Let me ask you today, here's a difficult, challenging question for you today. What is God calling you to give up so that you might step up into his future for you? Okay, so that's our first ingredient for successful mission, sacrifice. God always calls us to lay something down. Ingredient number two, there is always the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one bringing it all together. He's the one empowering, calling, leading us on. There is no successful mission without the involvement of the Holy Spirit. Yet so many times over the years, I've heard people speak about doing mission without any consideration for whether it was of God or not. Despite the fact that all things work together for good for those who trust the Lord, Romans 8, 28, God will not use evil to achieve his ends. You can't sell illicit drugs to buy Bibles for North Korea. You can't set up a prostitution ring to fund the planting of a church, of a new church. I mean, now, they are extreme examples. I know that. But believe me, over the years, I've seen so many things tried in order to build a youth group or to attract people to church that were quite simply godless. If your youth program is built around providing a place for total havoc and mayhem, dark corners and inadequately supervised weekends away, you may attract a lot of young people. But there will be no good, long-lasting fruit from that ministry. You cannot build successful, good fruit-bearing ministries without the work of the Holy Spirit. It is his work, and we are being invited into what God is doing in our midst. Yet so often we try to do it the other way around. We come up with some idea, and then we ask God to bless it. So another question for us today. What has the Holy Spirit been saying to you recently about your kingdom work? Remember what Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." If that is true, and surely God's word, if it is true, then it has to be true for us. God has great things planned for you, not just some of us, but for all of us. What has the Holy Spirit been saying to you recently about your kingdom work? What is the Holy Spirit calling you to do? Ingredient number three, there is always faith. There is always faith, which means there is always risk. You know, as we step out in faith, we step out into the unknown with God by our side. And that doesn't necessarily mean we won't get hurt. The New Testament is full of stories of people who lived faith-filled lives, and they often ended up dead or in prison, being tortured for their faith. But God was by their side through all of that, and ultimately nothing could separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I'm always deeply moved when I consider the greatest act of faith, the most risky venture in the history of humanity, Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus, the man Jesus of Nazareth, risked all in great faith and trust in his Heavenly Father when he allowed himself to be put to death, believing that God would then raise him from the dead and restore him to his rightful place above all creation. When God moves, he always seems to call us to step out in faith. And once again, that's certainly been true for Louise and I over the years. As I said before, God always seems to call us to lay down something, to sacrifice something, to follow him into the future he has for us. But he also calls us to trust him, to risk, to have faith in him. When was the last time, if ever, you risked in faith because you believed God was calling you to do something? If God calls us to live a life of faith, when was the last time you exercised, lived out your faith? Okay, so we have sacrifice, we have the work of the Holy Spirit, and faith. Ingredient four is really ingredient number one, prayer. I mean, everything begins and ends with prayer. We always come before him as Lord and King. We start by asking and we end in thankful praise. In these passages from Acts, which we've been sitting under together, we find Peter and Cornelius spending significant time in solitude and prayer. So ingredient four, prayer. Another question for you today, be really honest with yourself. How's your prayer life? Is prayer one of your daily habits, or is it kept for times of crisis? Is prayer your reflex action in all events at all times? These are tough, challenging questions for us to ask ourselves. Let's read on from verse 22. We'll finish with this passage. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy and encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. You know, as I've read these verses over and over during these last couple of weeks, I've been struck by the dynamic nature of kingdom life. It seems people of the kingdom are always on the move with the Holy Spirit. People are scattered from Jerusalem all over the known world. God tells Cornelius to send people to Joppa to find Peter. God tells Peter to go with these men to Caesarea. People from Cyprus and Cyrene decide to go to Antioch to preach to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The church in Jerusalem sends Barnabas to Antioch. And when he gets to Antioch, Barnabas travels to Tarsus to find Saul. And then they travel back to Antioch for a year's teaching ministry. Kingdom people are always on the move. And in saying that, I'm not saying that we all have to be moving geographically from place to place. But there needs to be a dynamic to your faith journey. We really should be able to walk up to anyone, any Christ follower, and say to them, tell us about where God is leading you at the moment. What is God's plan for you in this your time, in this your place? What is the great mover and shaker, the Holy Spirit, doing within you at this time? This is your one and only life. This is your time. This is your place. You know, as I've said to you many times over the past couple of years, you cannot answer the call of God to the men and women living in Cyprus or Cyrene or Antioch or Jerusalem or Rome in the first century. And they could not answer the call of God on those living in Foster in Australia in the 21st century or wherever you are in the world. This is our time and our place, and God's call on your life is uniquely yours. My prayer is that you would not only discover what God is calling you to in this time and in this place, but that you would respond to his call. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.